Paul Singer of USA Today joins us now for our weekly look at the latest from Congress. Both houses are off this week, but there's still plenty to talk about. Republicans are hoping to take control of the Senate in this fall's elections, and there's some ethics news coming down the pipeline.
Paul Singer is the Politics and Congress editor at USA Today. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Veronica. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Well, Wisconsin is sitting out this fall's election, but there's still a lot happening, a lot at stake in November. Now, Republicans are hoping to retake control, but before we look at the particular races, how confident are they that they'll flip the Senate to GOP control in 2014?
Well, I think they're increasingly confident, in part because they continue to believe that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is a very unpopular program, and that they can run a pretty strong campaign saying that Obamacare is bad for you and the Democrats want to keep it. And that has so far proven to be a pretty good message for them, and the Democrats are still trying to figure out a good response. In many cases, the response of the Democrats is to argue that basically, well, we're in favor of it, but not entirely in favor of it. It wasn't entirely our idea. Sure, there's some things we could change, which is just not as powerful a message as it's bad, it wasn't our idea, vote the guys out.
Is there any evidence so far, early evidence, that that line of aligning yourself with or against Obamacare is going to pay off one way or the other?
Well, the first evidence we got, again, evidence is sort of hard to say because this is still several months away, obviously, but the first indication we got was a couple, I guess, last week. I've lost track of my days. In the Florida special election for a House seat that in a district that had voted for Obama but had a Republican member of Congress who passed away, leaving an open seat, and the Republican won that race. Again, very much hammering on this message that Obamacare is bad for you and the Democrats like it. And the Republicans think that's a great signal for them winning that election because it suggests the problems the Democrats are going to have in the fall making this case.
Now, obviously, there's a fair chunk of months between now and November, but looking ahead, do you see a chance of Republicans getting the full 60-vote filibuster-proof majority?
Probably not 60, but there is a pretty good chance they can get to 51, which is all they need to really gum up the works for any of President Obama's proposals. I doubt they could get a veto-proof filibuster, veto-proof margin, but control of the Senate means you control the debate, and all you need is 51, and that they only need to win. I guess they need to take 6 seats from the Democrats. And there are more than a dozen in play where they could make up those seats they need.
Well, let's look at some of the races coming up. Which ones are you watching? Which ones are key?
Well, you know, the biggest races, I think, obviously, the ones that the Democrat is considered most endangered would be Arkansas, a guy named Mark Pryor, and Louisiana, Senator Mary Landrieu. Both of them are Democrats running in states that have voted heavily for Republicans in recent years, including last year's 2012 presidential election. Kay Hagan in North Carolina may also be a vulnerable Democrat. And then in the past couple of weeks, there's been some new races that have gotten interesting. We didn't think they were going to be interesting, but they've gotten interesting. For instance, Scott Brown, who you may remember was briefly a senator from Massachusetts, a Republican senator from Massachusetts, who had taken Ted Kennedy's seat. He is no longer in the Senate, is a private citizen, and he moved to New Hampshire. And he's now going to run, or he says he's going to run, as a Republican candidate for the Senate in New Hampshire against Democrat Jeanne Shaheen. Even if he doesn't win, that makes another state where there is a high-profile Republican. It's going to attract a lot of attention and cost Democrats money to defend that seat.
And another interesting race, which has gotten, I guess, even more interesting, is Colorado with Cory Gardner and Ken Buck.
Correct. And you know, again, here's where you have, particularly with the entrance of Cory Gardner into this race against Mark Udall, that was a race that Udall was expected to be able to carry pretty easily, well, you know, reasonably easily anyhow. Cory Gardner is seen as a very strong statewide candidate and a good recruit for the Republicans. And again, it makes that race much more interesting and much more competitive. That is another place where Democrats will have to spend money to defend a seat. And there are very few places on the map where they can go and get a seat that Republicans currently hold.
Now, as I understand it, in Colorado, there was a bit of messiness and unpleasantness as Ken Buck was replaced with Cory Gardner. Is that going to have any effect on the race?
No, I kind of doubt it. I mean, there's always, there's a lot of internal bruising that goes on in choosing candidates in any party, because obviously we're hurting the feelings of our friends when we choose ourselves over them. But ultimately, this is going to be a race, I suspect, once again, about some of the issues that have been powerful in Colorado, guns being one of them. Keep in mind that this is a state that held a recall election for several state senators who supported gun control, new gun registration requirements, and they were basically kicked out of office. So it's a state that Democrats have a hard time with sometimes.
Looking at a bigger picture, sort of the emerging identity of the Republican Party, do you have a sense what role the Tea Party might play in that November election?
You know, that's a really interesting question. The Tea Party at the moment is in a bit of a battle with other establishment Republicans. And so where they're likely to have their biggest impact, if they're going to have one at all, is going to be in the primaries in a couple of very red states like Georgia. There is a Republican primary going on there where the competition is really to see who can be the most conservative Republican in the race. You will see them in South Carolina trying to attack Senator Lindsey Graham for not being conservative enough. But at the moment, they don't appear to be winning a bunch of these races. I mean, there was a pretty high-profile race in Texas where the Senator Cornyn, who's been around a long time, well-respected Republican Party, had a Tea Party challenger who amounted to very little in the end. So I think where you might see the Tea Party play in a meaningful way is going to be in some of these primaries, but I'm not sure it'll matter all that much once the candidates are chosen and we go to November.
And with that in mind, do you think it's going to matter much that there doesn't seem to be, at least not at this point, a real solid identity, a cohesiveness in the Republican Party yet?
Well, as long as they stick to the message that Obama and Democrats are bad and Obamacare particularly is bad, that is their cohesiveness. No matter where you stand on gun control or abortion or gay rights or some of the other issues that divide the Republican Party, they're pretty much unified on Obamacare is bad. And as long as they stick to that message, they have that cohesion, that's what they're going to run on.
And before we leave the topic of the November elections, what about Democrats? Any hopes in the Assembly, for instance?
Well, you know, they're not likely to take the House representatives back at this point. They'd have to win, you know, 25 seats from Republicans. I don't think that's going to happen. There's just, again, there's not a wave going on that's pushing in the Democrats' favor in the House of Representatives. And the way districts have been created over the years, they're pretty safe for both parties. If your party has controlled that seat for a little while, you're pretty much locked in. There's only a handful of seats that are really close enough to swing back and forth across the parties. And at this point, a bunch of Democrats have retired, which is, again, seats that they're probably going to lose or have to fight to keep. So there's not a lot of hope that Democrats are going to win back the House of Representatives.
Now let's move on to another area you've been watching lately, ethics in Congress. Now, you've been reporting on the ethics issue in the House involving our neighbor to the south, Illinois. Can you fill us in on what's happening there?
Yeah, that's my favorite topic. Yeah, there is, we believe, an ethics investigation that it will be announced this week. There are against a congressman named Luis Gutierrez from Chicago. Gutierrez is pretty well known because he is a very high-profile advocate of immigration reform for the House Democrats. We believe that the House Ethics Committee is going to announce that they're looking into allegations that he improperly had a Chicago lobbyist basically on his payroll in his congressional office. That's a story that we wrote at USA Today last summer. We discovered this guy had been paid somewhere in the range of $500,000 over the course of 10 years to advise the congressman while at the same time running a public affairs and lobbying firm in Chicago. We think that's a no-no. We are relatively certain that the Ethics Committee is investigating it because we saw a bunch of legal fees that the congressman was paying out to people who specialize in ethics investigations, lawyers who specialize in ethics investigations. And so we think that's going to be announced sometime in the next couple of days.
Okay, that's interesting. So Gutierrez hasn't been talking about this, but we've been seeing the legal bills mounting. Why is it taking this long to break?
Oh, well, that's the beauty of the way the congressional ethics process works. Things take forever. In this particular case, one of the reasons we think that it is the case is a Gutierrez case is that the thing was delayed. The House Ethics Committee can't actually say anything about any kind of investigation of anybody who's on a ballot in the next 60 days. Well, that meant that they were ready to have this case, to announce this case 60 days ago, but the Illinois primary was Tuesday, yesterday. So they couldn't announce anything for 60 days before it. They had to wait. So we think they're going to announce tomorrow.
Okay. So as soon as the primary's over,
now they can talk.
Got it. Well, stepping back from that case, you also note that a Congressional Ethics Review Board recently marked its 5-year anniversary. What was new about that review panel?
Well, this is the panel that Nancy Pelosi created when she was Speaker, sort of the one of the new reforms of that Congress, was to create a panel that would, independent panel that would sort of vet ethics concerns and forward them to the Ethics Committee for action. And the whole idea was, the Ethics Committee did a lot of stuff that nobody ever saw. It was totally behind closed doors. It was never clear anybody was actually being punished. This board creates transparency, and it creates a way for someone like me to look at their reports and say, hey, there's an ethics investigation that's about to come out, and I can track it back and figure out it's Gutierrez. That is a direct result of this new panel. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that anybody gets punished or any more meaningful punishment, but it does mean that we are able to see that members of Congress are, in fact, being investigated for ethics concerns.
All right. We'll leave it there. Paul, thanks again for joining us.
Absolutely my pleasure, Veronica. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. That was Paul Singer, politics and Congress editor at USA Today. He joins us each week at this time to bring us up to date on the latest from Congress.